You're listening to The Creative and Passionate Cat, hosted by Antoine Erold.
All right, welcome back to Creative and Passionate Podcast. Today we're with Holly Bradshaw, a vlogger, so a niche blogger. And so basically, for those that may not already know you, can you just introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, I write a blog. Right now I'm writing it on medium.com, and it's all about sex and relationships, love sometimes, but it's mostly about sex and relationships. And I've started doing it. It's been over a year now that I've been blogging on that website.
So what got you started with doing that?
So I was a freelance editor, and one of my editing clients told me about Medium, and this was a few years ago, and I kind of got a profile and let it sit there. I was editing full-time and never getting a chance to write. Eventually, I turned editing to copywriting and started writing more and more for clients, which it kind of fed my desire to start writing what I wanted for myself, and, you know, trying to earn an income with, you know, my own brand, my own writing, not just copywriting clients writing. So there was a point where I came back to Medium, like after 2 years of like my profile sitting there, and started really writing it consistently, writing my blog consistently, and networking more and marketing more and making some money there.
Okay. And so what made you choose that topic for your blog?
So I think it was the most difficult thing is for me to niche down to a topic. And sometimes on Medium, I still try to write other things because it's more about a therapeutic kind of creative outlet for me. But I also can see what earns more, what gets more reads and views is really the sex and relationships topic, which I love writing about. So I mainly do focus on that. It just, Medium is great because you can write under whatever topic you want, and you will eventually see what gets a response more than other things, and you kind of know that's your wheelhouse. So that's why I tend to focus on that the most, and I also love doing it.
So what did it take for you to grow your brand on that platform?
It definitely took consistent writing. You know, I work a day job, but I try to write for Medium at least. It used to be like one post every 2 weeks. I started like incrementally making a little more progress, getting more income. So I saw that, you know, if I put out more, if I put out one a week, or now I'm trying to do two or three posts a week, the income grows the more consistent I am. The people, you know, the kind people who run Medium, they will see your name more the more you post. They might distribute your work on Medium. It's called curation. The more consistent you are, if you're putting out quality things consistently, and also if you are sharing it around. So you've got to find a way to get get eyes on your work, like with any type of writing, whether you're selling books on Amazon or writing your own blog, you've got to get the eyes there.
Yeah, for sure. So how does someone start getting viral on that platform? Is it just by posting content, or what can they do?
Post quality content. That's, you know, it's not just a journal diary entry for you. It's, you know, articles that people can relate to, that people can get valuable knowledge from. So whether you're sharing your experience or, you know, researching a topic and just kind of sharing the research as to why this is important or how you can do this. Don't just make it inward facing. Talk about some, you know, bring a lesson or bring some inspiration or creativity to the other people reading it. You know, we are like very internal. We're very like, we're the center of ourselves, of course, but how can our experiences be helpful to someone else? Because medium is all about kind of learning and talking about what's important. So yeah, it you want to bring your experience, you want to bring your personal style, but you also want to, you know, inspire or teach or appeal to others in some way.
Yeah, would you say that Medium is a sort of like magazine platform or something like something along those lines where it's like the updated or new form of news or something?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it is like a magazine in a way. Like there's anything you're interested, it is there. People write under self-improvement, under psychology. There's some very heavy research type articles there. People write erotica. People write about sex. I tend to write like erotic fiction as well, which that's not necessarily, you know, the nonfiction sex and relationship real life stuff, but it's definitely a creative outlet. And there's definitely a space for that. Medium won't curate or distribute erotica, which is interesting. I kind of wish they would revisit that decision because there's a great community there who, you know, want to read more erotic fiction or even erotic nonfiction. And if something's like too hot and spicy, like they will not distribute it, and you have to get your own eyes there. And I do a lot of that. So, but there's any topic under the sun, you know, you can think of. And I kind of look at it as sort of like a YouTube for reading, because it's all about read time. So they have an algorithm that it determines how long people are spending on your article, and that translates to the income your article will make.
That is interesting. I mean, it is a unique model because usually, like back in the days, you would have to have your own website to start making money with it, like if you had ads on it. So this is a brand new approach to monetizing your art.
It is, and the subscription to be in the Medium Partner Program, you have to be in the program to really start making an income there. It's $5 a month. And that $5 a month is about being a reader. Like you get unlimited articles, but you can see if you, put out work consistently, that subscription, it won't even
matter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Plus it's like less than a cup of coffee. So it's like, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, just because like, I think it's like the lowest subscription model I've seen so far.
Yeah. And that model, the reason we make an income is because people subscribe. So there's no ads. It's not ad-based, and also you have a built-in audience there. There's, I mean, I don't know the number of people who are subscribed, but it's a lot. Okay. It's also kind of a blogging secret. Like I know it's not out there a whole lot. Not everyone. Okay. In my real life, I don't think people know about it. I write under a pen name, so I've talked to friends about Medium and they've not heard about it. But bloggers tend to know about it. There's a built-in audience there. If you can, it's very competitive. So if you write good work that resonates, you will start to get eyes on your work there. And that subscription, you know, you get a part of the writer subscription or the reader subscription. That $5 a month goes, you know, into the pot. And depending on how long people read your work, you get part of that income.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what is your read time on your articles? Is it long? Is it short?
So I'm one of the medium bloggers who try not to spend, I don't spend a whole lot of time looking at the stats, but I will glance at it. Read time, I don't know exactly how it translates to income because I don't look at it that much. I look at the income. That's kind of my determining factor because I'm interested in earning more, supporting my family more with what I love to do. I know they also give you a read ratio. So that algorithm tells you, are people just reading half of your article? Are they just reading the top of your article and leaving because it's boring? And my read ratio tends to be pretty high. It's usually over half, which is, I mean, it sounds crazy that like 55% read time is a good thing, but it is. It's hard to keep people's attention. So if you've got a read ratio like that, that's a pretty good sign that you'll earn more with an article the more people spend reading it, the more time people spend reading it.
And how do you come up with the ideas for your articles?
So I come up with ideas based on real life experience. It's a few things. Real life experience, which, you know, as a sex and relationships writer, you know, I have that experience, but it's limited. Like, there are plenty of sex bloggers who have had more real life experience than I have had. A lot of it is based on my imagination. So if there's a sex topic I'm interested in, or if there's a fantasy I'm interested in, either keeping it a fantasy in my mind or actually wanting to explore it, I will write about that. And I will write about which one it is. You know, we are like sexual beings and we have fantasies, and it doesn't necessarily mean we want to make them come true, but in some cases we do. And I also just read a lot. I have always read a lot. I remember reading like was my favorite thing. When I learned how to read, it was like the best. So I was always a book geek and I was always just reading whatever I could get my hands on. And as far as sex goes, you know, as a teenager, I would like just find like historical romance novels that were just totally smutty and I would eat those up. So I've always been interested in it and I find inspiration pretty much anywhere, you know, whether I'm reading a book or watching different movies. I just think about sex a lot, I guess, and kind of find inspiration wherever I can.
So do you ever like, I guess, live through something and then say, oh my God, I need to write about that? Or does that come after?
Yeah, all the time. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a big life-changing event. Sometimes what resonates with people are small things. Like, did I have an argument with my fiance and did we reconcile it in some way? And a lot of times that kind of small everyday stuff is helpful. Did I have like terrible low libido for months because there was all this terrible crap going on in the world, which is, you know, my true experience at one point a couple months ago. And how did I get past that? And, you know, that's something we're all dealing with. So it's not just like the big life-changing, mind-altering moments, like, did I have the best threesome in the world? It's also the little things. And I sometimes the like minor everyday stuff that does amazingly well. Yeah.
That's interesting. So how do you also have like a content calendar where you're like, okay, well on each day I'm going to be writing or not, or?
That's something I think I need to start getting on, because I tend to, now that I'm writing more, writing more kind of makes you more inspired. Like it makes your creativity level higher. For me, so the more I write, the more I come up with ideas, and I really need to start keeping better track of those. I'm not the most organized with the content calendar, and I think they're actually, I'm starting to see the appeal of one. I tend to come up with ideas and put a title in my Medium blog and just leave it there as a draft until I get, so I don't forget about it. And then I tend to scribble things in notebooks and try, and it's like different notebooks and different post-it notes. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for being organized as a writer, and as a creative person, I'm maybe not the most organized in the sense of keeping my ideas all in one spot, and I definitely could work on that, and it would probably increase my productivity and lower my stress.
Yeah, because I'm guessing you have to like find everything once you want to start writing or something.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's it kind of stays in my head. I mean, you forget things. I can be forgetful, but if I really feel like writing something, that's usually what I tend to go with. Like, what is top of my mind right now? Okay. That's what I want to write about tonight.
Are the articles like most recent to your life, or not really, or just like in the moment kind of thing? Or
I would say it's a mixture of both. So I just wrote this week about a true experience that I had with one of my girlfriend meaning like one of my best friends, and that was we were always, you know, close, and we kind of crossed the line into like a physical relationship, and we were also best friends. So it was strange. And it was recent, and, you know, I'm 34 years old. So it's kind of interesting that I started exploring that aspect of my sexuality at this point and not when I was younger. But I also think I did things kind of backwards. I had a baby when I was 20, I was in college. You know, I was going to classes pregnant. I was going to classes, excusing myself to go to the bathroom and having my morning sickness. and that kind of delayed my career. And I finished school years later because I dropped out to take care of him. I was doing a lot of like adult responsibility things at the time where people are, I don't know, just being crazy and exploring life. I might have that backwards. And that's maybe part of why I write about sex right now, because I feel like I missed some experiences. And now that my son is older, he's a teenager, he's independent, I have more time to be creative. I have more time to write. And I kind of want to have more experiences because, you know, that's life. And I want to get in on that.
So what do you enjoy most about having these new experiences?
That's a good question. I just like learning about myself, and I like being able to talk about sex, frankly. And it's funny because we're still in the time where you kind of, I have another job that I keep separate. I need to write under a pen name because sex is still not, you know, something we talk about. It's not really small talk, not really polite at the dinner table talk. But I think if we are open to talking about it, it won't, you know, we have a lot of issues, especially in America, you know, around our sexuality, because we feel like we can't talk about it openly. I kind of always encourage my son to ask me any questions, and he does that. Like, he's open to talking to me about his questions. You know, you're a teenage boy, you have questions. So I'm glad he's able to do that. I hope he still feels that comfort with asking their questions and learning what he needs to learn. And that's kind of what I do. I think I lost track of your question, actually.
I think it's a pretty good answer. I mean,
what,
like,
was it?
I kind of forget myself. I guess it's more about, I guess at the end of the day, it's more about having that healthy, like, it's like a healthy challenge in a way, right?
Yeah, it's sex positive attitude. So like sex positive writing, it's all about, you know, being healthy with it, being responsible with it, but not being, not judging like what someone likes, or not judging, you know, what are we doing sexually? It's not something that we should never talk about. Like I talk about it with my friends all the time. I talk about it with guy friends, with girlfriends. I love, it's a psychology thing for me as well. I like to like uncover mysteries, and I like to explore why people like some of the things they like. Why, if you're an independent woman, why do you like to be submissive in bed? Or if you're, you know, the typical strongly opinionated male, or why do you like to be a dominant in bed? Or sometimes those roles are flipped. My fiance is more submissive, and so am I. So sometimes that's an interesting dynamic, because we have to take turns to address each other's needs in bed. And if you can navigate that, maybe you're not the most compatible, but you get along well, and you talk to each other about what you want honestly, that is only going to help your relationship. And you can't be afraid to, you know, talk about what you want. And of course, some people are, and I understand why. It's like, it makes you nervous. It like makes you vulnerable to open yourself up and talk honestly to your partner about what you want. You just kind of have to be patient with each other and not judge each other. If maybe your fiance or your wife or your girlfriend isn't into like your idea, that's okay. Like, you need to be honest. Like, am I into that or am I not into that? And am I willing to address that need, even though it's probably not my favorite thing? Or is that a hard limit for me and I don't want to do that? You just have to have those conversations. And that's why I write too, because I want to encourage people to do that.
Is it challenging for you to explore that, even though I'm guessing you're in a committed relationship? So how does that work if you want to explore beyond that relationship?
That's funny, because I write about the fact that I do want to explore outside areas of polyamory or kind of an open relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's something I write about because we haven't exactly made that step in real life. I say we're in talks about it. We're in negotiations about it, kind of. It's something you both have to feel comfortable with if you're going to do anything in the realm of ethical non-monogamy. You're being ethical, so you're being honest, you're doing things the right way to not hurt your partner. And I'm also super nervous about it. As much as I love to write about sex and talk about sex, sometimes I'm more of a big talker than I am with action, and I'm just more shy, I'm slow, I'm cautious, and I'm obsessed with, you know, not making a wrong move or not taking a big risk. And that makes me very slow, I think, to the game of exploring different, you know, sexual things that I want to explore. I'm kind of afraid to, but I really want to. So it's something I struggle with internally, and writing really helps me work that out too.
Mm-hmm. Does it help you go to, like, I guess, think more about that, or want to take the step further, or is it just more therapeutic?
It's both. Like, it really helps me process, if I was really had the opportunity to date or have sex with someone else outside of my committed relationship, which I'm committed to, and, you know, I don't want to leave my relationship, I don't see my relationship as not fulfilling. It's nothing against my relationship. I am someone who can love multiple people or be attracted to multiple people. And it doesn't take away from another person that I love. Lost track.
Okay. It's good.
My first podcast interview ever. So I feel like it's not easy to do this.
I yeah, I mean,
do it so well, and they're so eloquent, and I'm like struggling, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you want to say for those that would want to start their own like blog and on Medium, and they're like ready to give it a go, but they're not 100% sure about, you know, their topic, or like, you know, it might take a long time before they make money with it. So it's like to not get discouraged.
Yes. That is a big part of it. There's so many writers there. It's hard to get your work seen, that it's kind of flooded. And a lot of that is consistency, and it is being on social media and connecting with other Medium writers that can help. For me, I never got an article distributed until I kind of emailed them and followed up, and I was like, what about this one? Because I think there's just not enough people who work there. There are maybe like 30 curators, editors who curate your work. And that was during a time when you could contact Medium and ask them about curation. They've changed so that they don't even accept those emails now. So I kind of like snuck in there, and that got them to distribute my work. And that's when I first started taking off a little bit more.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But I would say if you can connect with other writers, ask them for advice. And there's plenty of writers who are just putting the advice out there. Like, they're putting actionable steps out there. You can find Medium writers. There's some on YouTube. You can go, read the articles on Medium about writing on Medium. And this annoys some Medium writers. Like, if you write about Medium, your work won't get distributed. They, as a policy, don't curate that. But it's been very helpful as a new writer to read about other experiences. There's just plenty of information out there as to, you know, what you need to do. But I would say mostly it's writing consistently and not just writing something so fast that it's, you know, it's like full of mistakes or it's been done to death. You know, you have to really put your unique twist on a piece, and it has to be well written, and it has to be engaging. It has to be interesting.
Yeah. So there are a lot of steps to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, get on there, work hard on a piece. Don't just write something quickly in, you know, a few minutes. Really, like, take your time, research it, work on your writing. You know, work on your basic writing skills. If you're a very new writer, I've been writing since I was, you know, in college, and it took me a long time to even hone my craft. Work. The more you write, though, the better you do get at it. It's like practice makes perfect kind of thing.
Yeah. So what if they don't get traction on their first, like, let's say articles, like, should they keep it on there? Or should they remove it? Like,
You know, I would say keep it there and keep writing. If you're getting zero views on an article, you know, there's ways to share it on social media. You know, you can send links to friends. You can get eyes on it. But, you know, Medium does have a policy against removing an article and then publishing the same article. Like, you can't just take it down, put a different title on it, and republish it.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a policy against that, because then they're just checking the same articles over and over again. But,
yeah,
you know, move on. Try again. Experiment with different things. If something doesn't work, try a different angle. Try maybe a different topic. But also, I would say there's a lot of sense in being consistent with the same topic. So your first article on self-help or self-improvement might not do well, but, you know, your fifth or sixth one, you maybe stumble across something that resonates well with readers and it does better. And the title and the image are the most important thing to get, because that's the first thing people see. If your title if your title doesn't pique curiosity, if your title doesn't spark an interest, they won't want to click on it.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Yeah, so I think we'll leave it at that for the episode. I mean, it's more than enough information. And I think anyone that would want to start their own Medium blog can now get started with it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, so I do appreciate having you on the show. So it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
We'll be sharing all your links in the show notes. So for everyone that wants to check out the blog, if you have an email list, if you have anything that you want to share, we'll put it on the show notes so people can have access to it as soon as possible.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.